Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Today's episode of the podcast is another in the Control Room series, where I bring my longtime friend Ryan on to talk about all aspects Magic the Gathering and speculate and just generally hang out. So, without further ado, I'd like to reintroduce Ryan back to the show. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's me again. I'm back to the old roundtable discussion here. A roundtable consisting of only two people, so I guess it wouldn't be a roundtable. It'd be more like a square table, but regardless, I'm back here.
Yeah, you know, you can't have much of a discussion with a round table without at least two people, but on let's be honest here, you could have a discussion with just two people at a round table. Wouldn't that make it a round table discussion?
I guess it would, technically, if you were at a physically round table, as opposed to just, you know, a metaphorical round table.
So listen to us. Already, we're only about a minute in, we've already cracked a really bad irony reference here. Anywho, so while we're trying not to die of summer heat, we have some very hot new speculation coming up here. So currently it's preview season for the new D&D set, and we are going to speculate about a new set, so therefore we are going to talk about the new Innistrad sets today. So again, for those who haven't been paying attention or those who don't know yet, we are going to be treated to a return to the plane of Innistrad this September with Innistrad Midnight Hunt, and followed by the set dropping November 2021, Innistrad Crimson Vow. Now, I do believe that these are supposed to be part one and part two of something. Again, Wizards has not really made it very obvious exactly what we're going to expect from these sets, except that we are likely going to see a werewolf-themed set for Midnight Hunt and a vampire-themed set for Crimson Vow. And, you know, while these are not necessarily groundbreaking concepts, these are two extremely popular tribes. What exactly these sets have to do with each other in regards to the Magic the Gathering storyline is really speculation at this point, obviously, since we don't really have any information right now, no spoiler leaks or anything like that. We're basically just shooting arrows at the wall here, hoping that maybe we're right on something. So, Ryan, since this is really your first time hearing about the Innistrad sets, what are your initial thoughts on our return to this plane?
Yeah, until you told me about them, I had either forgotten or I was not aware of the fact that they were doing some returns in Innistrad here after the Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. For some reason, that escaped my mind. So I think it's kind of interesting. It looks like they're doing like either a two-part structure, or they're doing two separate blocks, or they're doing one block and then two individual sets within the block, like subsets. I doubt they're going to go with like a Lorwyn Shadowmoor kind of thing. It's probably going to be more like either two independent sets or two, you know, standard sets within one block. But I did think, and I thought that they were moving away from doing like block structures. At least that's what I thought. But these are obviously thematically related, and they'll probably be connected in terms of both the timeline. They'll probably take place at the same time, most likely, and they'll probably be thematically related in the same setting and with a lot of the same characters and things. So I guess it remains to be seen as to what the overall structure of the two sets will be like. You know, what the size of the sets will be. You know, how many cards are in the sets, like mechanically what's involved in them. That's all kind of speculation at this point, but I can hazard a guess a little bit as to what I think would most likely be contained in each of the two sets respectively.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a moment. We will get to that in a moment here, but I have to do a simple joke here first before we go any further. The fact that we're speculating not on the Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, but on the new Innistrad sets, especially the Crimson Vow set, is madness, honestly.
Yeah.
Which is also a really bad pun on the mechanic madness, something we're probably going to see return with these two sets. Now, please continue.
part of it is I know exactly what's going to be in the Adventures of the Forgotten Realms. I haven't seen any previews or anything, but I know what's going to be in there, simply because I'm very familiar with Dungeons & Dragons. I'm very familiar with Forgotten Realms. I've played Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and all the other accessory kind of AD&D and D&D 3rd edition video games produced by BioWare and other ones. So I'm pretty steeped in it, and I have a pretty good idea as to what they're going to touch on, what kind of characters they're going to feature in it already before they even have essentially talked about it. Now, however, when it comes to this Innistrad stuff, obviously there's the precedent set by previous Innistrad sets. We'll probably see the return of familiar characters, but I don't know, because that's already been an explored thing within the Magic universe, I don't know precisely where they're going to go. I only have the precedent set by other kinds of sets to see what a return to Innistrad would be, for example, after like an Eldrazi invasion. You know, I can look to other things and see, hey, maybe they'll do something similar to that, but I don't know precisely what characters they'll have or what will be in it. Whereas, you know, with Forgotten Realms, I'm pretty reasonably certain the kind of structure it's going to take.
Sure. Where we are currently with the Innistrad story, again, this is something that it's been a little while since I read the story, so I do believe I'm correct. You're going to have to correct me on this one. But the Eldrazi were technically defeated by the Gatewatch and by the forces of Soren Markov and effectively banished from the world. We did see our big giant Eldrazi Titan locked in the moon, as was utilized on A Prison in the Moon, the card. So we end up with the situation where the Eldrazi are still a very ever-present part of this world, but potentially the threat has been stemmed for the time being. However, again, that being said, there are a whole lot of issues that need to be cleaned up going through there, and the fact that we're going to be seeing werewolves and then vampires, potentially with some shifting alliances going on with said vampires, you never really know exactly where this is going to go. So again, we talked before the show, Ryan, about how the Eldrazi may or may not end up playing a part in either of these two sets. Obviously, with the new Zendikar Rising set that just came out last year, there were allusions to the Eldrazi, obviously, because of what they had done to that world. But yeah. Again, since we don't necessarily have any speculation or any knowledge about what's going to go on in these Innistrad sets, do you think we're going to see anything from Emrakul as she's stuck in the moon, or do you think that this is just going to kind of be a straight-up set more along the lines of the original Innistrad block, or just something else?
I think there's going to be a combination of things. I think that lore-wise, the first two Eldrazi Titans were defeated in a way where their physical forms were destroyed, and they were effectively also exiled from that particular plane, effectively, probably permanently. But there are suggestions that they are not actually destroyed, but they were defeated. So that's kind of an open question as to what happens to the first two. Now, but with Emrakul, it was a little bit different, is that she was not destroyed and banished from like the plane or from the physical world. She was just imprisoned in the moon. And whether Emrakul is actually a she or an it or whatnot is like besides the question. There's a lot of questions there.
Well, canon does suggest she.
So that's the interesting point, is that Emrakul, in comparison to the other Eldrazi Titans, is the one that's mentioned as interacting directly with people in a way that people can kind of understand, or even not exactly fathom, but is something that I guess you'd call it a telepathic thing, or ability to reach beyond and talk to people and stuff. And that's kind of the interesting part about being imprisoned in the moon, is there's that question, like, you can imprison the physical form of an Eldrazi, but if it's not really, like, its form is not really destroyed, then an Eldrazi like Emrakul, can it just talk to other people across time and space or whatnot? Is that how it begins to affect things, you know, as opposed to physically going to a planet and warping everything and making it all topsy-turvy and making stuff into tentacled Lovecraftian nonsense, you know what I mean? So that's kind of an open question when it comes to the Innistrad sets. It's like, how much of a role will the remaining Titan play in that, if any at all? But also how they choose to handle the topic of the Eldrazi after they were after she was sealed in the moon. Is it going to be like with the Return to Zendikar, where like the Eldrazi, I guess, got all wiped out or whatever, pretty much. But like the relics and their instruments of power and sites and stuff like that, and their followers still kind of exist, right? So there's still like a legacy component. Is that what we'll see with Innistrad? I'm not 100% certain, but I guess it depends on what they choose to focus on in the sets, because it's obvious that these Innistrad sets are going to be a little bit different from previous ones. Because it looks like one of them is going to be a set focused on the werewolf tribe and one focused on vampires, which is something different from previous Innistrad sets that always focused on the dichotomy between the humans and the monsters, kind of, or between like the realm of light, realm of dark kind of thing. This one seems to suggest that both sets are going to focus on the beings of night here, or at least that they're actually looking at them as concrete things, not just featuring them, but that the sets will be focused around them. Werewolves and vampires respectively. I think there probably will be humans. I really doubt that they'd make two sets that are almost entirely around those two different things. There's probably going to be elements of both in that, but as to whether it'll be as heavily focused around that theme now that the plane of Innistrad got wrecked to all heck and a lot of stuff has been turned upside down, I don't know. You know, when they return to Zendikar, it's obvious that that plane still has a lot of its old stuff going on, but it has all those scars of the Eldrazi invasion, you know, physical and not so physical, you know. I guess the question is what form will that take with the two Innistrad sets? And I don't know, but I think that they'll probably touch on it. I really doubt that they do sets where they just ignored that entirely. I just don't know how much of a card space or how much of a lore space that will, how much that will actually inhabit, or how much just maybe of a minor sub theme that might be. It's kind of the same way with, you know, our other big bads, the Phyrexians, you know, like for whatever reason, they inexplicably popped up in, I can't remember.
Well, I'm going to give you a spoiler here again for those who have not been reading the new Magic the Gathering comic books from Boom Studios.
The first
issue of that new comic series does, I believe, feature a Phyrexian agent involved in a larger plot. So I've only gone through the first two issues, but they're currently going to be coming out with issue 4 this month, so July 2021, for those interested. And it does seem to suggest that there may be a little bit of Phyrexian meddling in Ravnica and Guild affairs. So, yes, the Phyrexians may be popping up here. But going back to the Eldrazi here, Ryan, I think I do want to interject really quickly that that the Eldrazi, given what happened in the Shadows and Eldritch Moon set, block, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The fact that the story seems to be going a little bit away from the Gatewatch may actually have a huge impact on what we see going forward with these sets. Obviously, we've seen multiple characters from that group either being kind of written out of the story or going different ways to the point where we don't really have a coherent superhero team going forward anymore. So at least where I think this is going is we're going to be going away from what happened previously. It's going to be kind of picking up the pieces, probably trying to fill that vacuum of power now that the Eldrazi are gone. And I think Wizards has hinted that there's going to be a big power shift, especially in the Crimson Vow set. Again, I can't quite remember exactly what it was. It's very hard to find the information on the mothership these days. But I do believe that some of the houses of... some of the vampire noble houses maybe trying to consolidate some of their power to fill in the vacuum that is now left behind. So again, where exactly this falls in line with the werewolf set, with Midnight Hunt, I do not know. Obviously, the werewolves didn't have a whole ton to do in the last block, if you just want to look at the Vorthos. But we did see Arlan Cord during War of the Spark, obviously our favorite werewolf planeswalker. And so maybe what she's up to will be the emphasis for this set, especially now that there may be additional room for werewolves to come in. And again, when we look outside the Vorthos, obviously a lot of people have been clamoring for a werewolf commander for EDH for years. Mm-hmm. So this seems like the perfect opportunity for Wizards to eventually print one. Even though, especially for a werewolf lord, obviously we've had previous legendary werewolves in the past, but people say that's not enough. They want an actual lord, some kind of payoff for playing werewolf. So we shall see if that comes in the set, but I think people will be very disappointed if they do not get that commander. Versus if we look at Crimson Vow, there's a lot of very, very good vampire legends out there already. So I'm not necessarily sure that this would be an EDH set. Again, we have a whole ton of vampire legends, so I'm going to assume that we're going to see more story for that one just because there's precedent. Midnight Hunt, who knows at this point? But again, that's where we're speculating.
Yeah, it remains to be seen whether these are going to be tribal-orientated sets or sets themed around the tribes. Like a tribal set is what I think of, like the Lorwyn set, Morningtide and Lorwyn, where it was focused around tribes very tightly. The same thing for a couple sets in the Invasion block were also very strongly focused around tribal themes. They've touched on that over time. Ixalan to an extent as well. Or whether it'll just be kind of themed around them and feature a lot of cards from those tribes and kind of have cards that work with tribes but not be a set that's exclusively tribal, have other kind of that design space they might be kind of messing around with. Right now it's kind of an interesting point in the history here is that you got three major big bads throughout the history of Magic. You had Yawgmoth, you had Nicol Bolas, and then you also have the Eldrazi and stuff. I guess Yawgmoth is now basically just Phyrexia, but I guess Yawgmoth also kind of lives on through the Phyrexian oil, but you have all three of the forces, except for the Phyrexians, of course, who are just like doing whatever. They've all kind of been defeated to a certain extent, but then the question is like, how much have they been defeated? Will they all pop up later on? Will they pop up together? Which is another thing that we haven't really seen before. Like, will you have multiple things popping up at once? That remains to be seen. I guess, like, my other question would be, like, do they plan on, if they plan on focusing on werewolves and vampires, they're also going to have tribal elements from the other tribes, aka, like the zombie kind of tribes. Are they going to finally make homunculi a viable tribe? Like, I think they should. I think we need homunculi tribal.
Well, you do have Fibblethip already, so you do have
So he could be Lord, and then he could have a homunculi tribe. I don't know what their theme would be exactly as a tribe. At this point, dwarves are now a viable tribe, so I never thought I'd see that kind of happen. All kinds of things are given tribal support now that were never necessarily super duper viable. So who knows what other kinds of things are around there. I will say that aside from like the different monster factions and the human factions that Innistrad has historically been light on like featuring other kinds of tribes, like as far as I'm aware of, they don't have a lot of merfolk on Innistrad. Like, do you remember any merfolk cards?
No, but again, I don't think any merfolk would really survive as is in the waters of Innistrad. I mean, we have things like the Gitrog monster in those waters.
That's
kind of scary.
A lot of the traditional tribes that exist don't exist on Innistrad. Like, in fact, most of the traditional things that exist on all of the other planes are there in some element, don't exist on Innistrad. It's kind of like a weird dichotomy between humans and various monstrous kind of threats or things that are allied with monstrous threats, right?
So yeah, there's a... And don't forget the Angel tribe as well. even though
that
is mostly been
angels,
though that has mostly been wiped out due to said Eldrazi incursions, as well as thanks to Soren Markov too. So
yeah, and that gives like one less tribe that most likely would be featured strongly. So it's kind of like a world where there's not that many different tribes. There's a lot of like, I'm wondering whether they'll focus on class-based tribal stuff too. They did that in the newest Zendikar. They've done that in the past. I'm kind of wondering whether they'll continue that that theme with Innistrad, to where, like, you know, not only because they have fewer tribes overall, considering, you know, Innistrad has never had that many different. They don't have like freaking goblins and you know, orcs. Well, no, they had a couple dragons or something like that, but not in any tribal sense. Like, they're missing some of those different things from the different colors, right? Instead, I think that classes could be one area where they set things apart, in addition to their race-based class.
So going more into the party mechanic here?
Yeah, I think it could see a return of the party mechanic. Like, obviously, it's probably going to be the party mechanic in Forgotten Realms. I'm 100% certain of that.
I don't think we're going to be seeing party again for a long time. It seemed to be really? One of those kind. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about this lately on the internet, and it seems the Wizards isn't overly interested in bringing party back, probably because it's not necessarily an easy mechanic to really be able to take advantage of in constructed formats outside of, out of EDH. So,
yeah,
and it's also a Zendikar-specific mechanic, yeah, which makes it more difficult to bring it to somewhere like Innistrad, where you already have some very strong synergies, things like Dredge, things like Madness, that really fit in with the themes here.
I think that they've really started to explore class-based tribes in a way that they haven't since Morningtide, though, in recent sets. The Return to Zendikar in particular, but you've seen some of that trending just a little bit, and that the fact that, you know, they gave rogues a bit more tribal support and stuff, and warriors and stuff. And warriors have not exactly been the most supported kind of group. Clerics has been given lots of support through the years, but not generally warriors. Soldiers, more so, but... Oh, and also knights. Don't forget the knights. Knights have been a legit thing for a while now. I think that you could see a little bit of that in Innistrad. I guess, yeah, it's too bad that they... You know, I think that the party mechanic would be made for something like a Dungeons & Dragons-themed magic set, because, like, it's all about forming a party. But maybe they'll do something else for that, some other kind of theme that ties into it, you know. As for Innistrad, I don't know whether they'll be delving into that. I guess there's also questions as to, like, how much they'll be sprinkling in goodies for Commander players versus stuff for Standard or for the other Eternal formats, you know. What kind of things they'll choose to push versus things that they'll decide not to push. Whether they'll include any interesting white cards that shake things up a little bit, I guess. Those are like open questions, you know. But these two sets have probably been in production for a while now, because they plan stuff way ahead of time. So, you know, they probably have a pretty good read on what they're going to be already. And they're probably way beyond the R&D stage at this point, and even the design phase. I mean, they're probably ready to ship it by this point in time. Like, what do you think is most likely? What do you think is most likely to return in Innistrad? You think?
Well, again, I do think that we obviously need to see a return to the existing themes, so I really do assume we're going to be seeing a lot of Madness cards, maybe not as much as we did last time, but this is still a world that has been extremely damaged in a lot of ways, and I'm sure a lot of that psychological damage will still be coming through even in this set. I'm quite sure, just like Zendikar Rising, which was effectively a reckoning based on the based upon the wounds inflicted upon the world, I'm going to assume Innistrad will also see a whole lot of those issues. Again, when we look at the story, we see just a vacuum for power here. I'm assuming the vampires are going to be trying to take that over, judging by the fact that the humans have been weakened, angels have been weakened, again, the horrors are hopefully gone, the Eldrazi are probably gone, maybe not completely, but seemingly gone, and with the Gatewatch not involved there, who knows? But I really think that Madness will probably make a return. We did get Anya Falconwrath a couple years ago as far as C-19 cares about Madness specifically. So I feel like that, and since that is a Innistrad-only mechanic, really, I think that that should show up. But again, if we're just looking at the story, I think I agree with you on this one, Ryan, is we're going to be seeing a lot of the same tribes, and it just makes me wonder how exactly these sets are going to be played out. Is this going to be like two full pieces of a block? Is this going to be two halves of basically what could have been one set that's going to be split into two? I mean, we're looking at about, 2 months in between these sets, which is a little less than normal. I mean, at least we're talking about standard legal sets here. It's typically we get a set about every 3 months or something for standard legal. So would this be two halves of the same set, or is this something like Guilds of Ravnica, Ravnica Allegiance, where we're kind of looking at the same story just by cutting basically that one set in half, but not necessarily at the expense of the other? I'm honestly not sure what to expect, but we will see a lot of tribal synergies. I'm just really wondering about where the story is going to go here, because, you know, if Wizards has abandoned the block model, will these two sets even really be related to each other? Is there some kind of split effect here where one is going to feed into the other, or are these going to be kind of taking place at the same time? Or is one going to be going after the other? I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea either. It is kind of odd to have two completely, like, at least, like, plane-related sets back-to-back like that, because I really thought that they were completely exiting the block sort of model here. So I'm not sure what it really represents exactly. Like, could it be two mini sets, and, like, one of them is just, like, released in short period, one after another? Like, I don't know. But I guess it also raises the interesting question as to whether they're thinking about keeping up with the whole humans versus monsters dichotomy thing, whether that'll just be kind of strengthened in this after the Eldrazi thing, or whether that thing will kind of get a little bit more muddled up. I guess the question are these Innistrad sets going to be like Dark Ascension, where they represent, where they like focus on the monsters, like, totally ruling over everything and then attempting to basically extinguish humanity? Or is this going to be more like something else, like where maybe like the monsters are sometimes allied with the humans and there's some kind of like weird political thing going on, like where maybe some of the vampires are like in with the humans, or the werewolves, or vice versa, or some weird stuff like that? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's just speculation for what it will be. But, you know, I guess you could distinguish a lot of the Innistrad sets by how they kind of focused around that theme. And also, like, the previous ones focused a lot around the angels and stuff. And then, you know, of course, then the Eldrazi came. But right now Eldrazi are defeated and the angels are kind of, like, all dead. Or, I mean, maybe not all dead.
No, technically Sigarda, I think, is still around.
Yeah.
Obviously, as the one angel that didn't go batshit crazy.
I mean, if there's just one angel left, or...
Well, one archangel anyway.
Yeah, it's not 100% clear exactly what the fate of certain groups is after that. There's still some unfinished hanging questions, you know. So it'll be interesting if they touch on that. Like, what does that mean if there's no, like, Avacyn, or there's no, like, Planeswalker hanging around and managing everything? Or is there a Planeswalker hanging around managing everything? Like, is Soren Markov going to be wandering around? Or is it going to be, like, one of the other Planeswalkers that are kind of from, or, like, hung around that plane? Yeah, I don't know. Open questions. Who steps in to fill the void that's left by both the absence of Eldrazi and the absence of, like, guardian beings? Like, yeah, I don't know. That's up in the air, and I don't know the answer to that one either.
And is it possible we could see a resurgence of the human tribe in these sets? I mean, obviously, the humans did play a large role in the story about trying to defend their world. We saw a lot of Thalia in there, so I'm going to assume if we're going back to Innistrad, we're going to get a new Thalia card in Mono White, doing something generically Staxy or Hateberry, I assume. So is it possible the Thraben will have rebuilt itself? I guess I don't know. We still kind of have the... There were some lingering questions after Eldritch Moon, unfortunately, but I'm going to assume that most of the main characters probably made it through that. So I guess we're going to be seeing more of the Thraben storyline, probably some rebuilding there, and you know, kind of some reckoning with where they're going to go now. Obviously, that doesn't necessarily go in with the... with what we've seen. But again, I guess I have a hard time believing that we're not going to be seeing humans in this set just because they play such an important role, especially for the vampires. The werewolves, not as much, but again, with Arlen Cord being a planeswalker, having been seen in War of the Spark most recently, I'm going to assume she's going to show up on Innistrad again. Maybe there's your planeswalker hanging out. Because we already have one who is basically already on the plane, who has a very complicated history with the humans and with the former Lunar Council of the humans. So I guess I wonder, is there going to be some lingering laundry there regarding building the human civilizations, trying to come to terms with how the vampires have gotten knocked down a peg, with the fact that some of the horrors are in theory at bay, and the fact that, again, you're right, there a lot of the human protectors are now gone. So does that force the vampires to now have to really, you know, be more protective of the humans now that that's really all they have for a food source? I don't know.
Yeah, are we going to see, like, Tybalt, I guess, Davros or whatever his name is, and Soren coming back? Are we going to see other planeswalkers wandering around? What's the plan there? We know a little bit of who survived and who didn't, and kind of what happened afterwards by the fact that a lot of the stuff that was going on then, those people then later played a reprising role in War of the Spark. So that suggests that Innistrad didn't just, like, after the Eldrazi was sealed in the moon, didn't just start falling apart and, like, descending into complete and utter, like, complete chaos or whatever.
Like it hadn't already.
Well, yeah, but it suggests that, like, everything is not just completely, like, effed up over there, because some of those, I mean, you know, like, there was stuff that happened after that storyline, and planeswalkers left from Innistrad to go to the whole planar beacon thing, so it suggests that, like, at least something must have been functioning there after the Eldrazi was sealed away. Like, yeah, what that I guess you'd call it, you know, status of order, what that paradigm is, I don't know. Like, I guess it could be one of many different things. But I think the thing, I guess, like, the point is that there's some things that'll probably return, and I could probably say with a really high probability, certain themes, but there's a lot of stuff where... there's a lot of open questions. I do think that these next sets are going to be more similar thematically or mechanically to some of the more recent set design they've done rather than some of the old Innistrad set design, particularly like the stuff you saw with the first Innistrad block. I think that there's going to be a little less focus on some of the things that were popular then and a little bit of a re-spinning of them. I think we're going to see some of, like, their new design philosophy in this new Innistrad set, like, that we've kind of seen with a lot of the other sets, you know, Strixhaven and whatever it was. So I think it'll be interesting to look at that, because it's been some time now since Eldritch Moon came out. So in that time span, there's obviously been changes to how the universe has been presented, you know, mechanically how magic kind of exists, some of the experiments they've done. In fact, some people would say there's been a lot of changes since then, like a lot of stuff happening pretty quickly. Obviously, like, one of the big differences is that Commander is now a huge deal. I mean, it was a big deal then, but it's now like to the point where they're doing something that they never thought they would do, which is they're actually designing cards specifically for Commander in standard legal sets, which is definitely not something I thought would ever happen, say, you know, when I was playing Commander like 11 years ago. Never thought I'd be in a position where they were specifically designing sets around Commander, or at least elements of the sets around Commander players. So how that will look, I don't know. Like, what's your take on that?
I don't know. I mean, I really want to ask you, now that we've been talking about how we really don't know, unfortunately, as far as the speculation, what do you think we will see starting with Midnight Hunt? What do you think is an absolute lock? And we'll start there.
I absolutely believe in Midnight Hunt that there will be werewolves. Like, I absolutely believe so. I obviously absolutely believe that there are going to be vampires. I also think that there's going to be a tribal component of some kind, whether that is a prime tribal focus of these sets or whether they are just sort of themed around those tribes and they have some support, but whether that like the focus isn't tribal, I don't know. But I'll tell you that they're going to play a role. I'm pretty sure that we're going to see either the Phyrexians or Emrakul somewhere in here, or some like faint traces of something like that, because that's something that they hinted on in almost every single set they have been doing. You got to have a big bad somewhere. You can't just have like a bunch of different sets and absolutely no. I mean, you can. That was the first, who knows how long in Magic history, was kind of like a bunch of disjointed, disorganized things. But you think that they're going to slip little hints around there, here and there.
Well, the last couple of sets, they haven't necessarily had a large villain. I think each plane has had its own mini villain that's really filled in the gap there. So in Zendikar, you did have you had a lot of the issues between Nahiri and Nyssa and trying to reckon with the damage the Eldrazi had done.
Yeah.
In Kaldheim, you did end up bringing Vorinclex back in, so there was your Phyrexian aspect, but there was a lot of other stuff going on there too outside of the Eldrazi, outside of the Phyrexians. And as far as Strixhaven is concerned, you had a one-off character who did perish at the end of a story. So I think that Magic doesn't necessarily need overarching villains at this point. Maybe Wizards is looking to try to work on smaller scale stories. Obviously, maybe that, since we're not seeing blocks anymore, maybe we don't necessarily have to worry about a lot of those pieces anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting. Like, maybe they'll stick like a little bit of a Praetor like there on one of these sets, like some weird stuff. Like, maybe we'll finally figure out one of these days like what happened to Urabrask, whether he got domed or whether he like fled somewhere with his dudes, because it's just a really, really strongly hinted at that he is like no longer a Praetor, or at least if he is, that he's not on New Phyrexia anymore. Like, whether he got domed, I don't know. So that's kind of a loose end that they need to kind of figure out. Obviously there's other little loose ends like that, you know, major storyline wise. I guess the other thing I think is probably going to appear is, I do think humans are going to, like, I agree with you on that. I think humans are going to play a role in some way, whether they're dying off or whether they're allying with stuff or whether there's some other thing going on. I'm not sure. I think that zombies are probably going to be there, even if they're focused on other tribes. I'm pretty sure, given just how popular zombies have been, there's going to be some kind of zombie somewhere here. I also think we're going to see a return of some of the, like, either of some of the mechanics from Innistrad, or a reworking of them, or reimagining of stuff. I'm not 100% certain whether Madness is going to be coming back, because Wizards seems to be very reticent about Madness as a mechanic. Like, I don't know what the storm scale is on Madness, but they don't do it super frequently, at least since it was originally introduced. They did do it for the last Innistrad block for a little bit, but it sounded that might have been a one-off thing. I don't know, though. I think you might. I think there's probably going to be a graveyard mechanic, like a mainline graveyard mechanic that comes back. Probably something like undying, probably, or some kind of thing having to do with things dying and coming back. With the werewolves, there's probably going to be werewolf-specific mechanics, most likely. And then with vampires, there's probably going to be a vampire-specific mechanic that it probably like. I'm thinking combat mechanics, but I guess that could take the form of a lot of different things. Maybe like it could be resource gathering, it could be some other kind of mechanic that helps with play. But I do think that there's going to be themed mechanics around those tribes. And I also think that they're probably going to have Innistrad planes or planeswalkers that are from Innistrad. I think they're going to play some kind of role here. Whether that is a new planeswalker or new planeswalkers, or whether those are the other ones we already know about, I'm not sure. I somehow doubt that Tamiyo is going to pop back, though, for some reason. At least, I think that they kind of ran with that one for a while. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I do agree that Tamiyo is probably not going to show up, especially if there's no madness to be found. But again, I really do think, again, I've been saying this the whole episode, I really think madness will still be there. The fact Innistrad's not exactly going to become a planet of fruit and flowers, honestly. It's going to still be a really messed up place just based on the lore that it already has built up and also the real life parallels that to classic literature. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that kind of stuff still going there. We're probably going to see a lot of horrors still there because Innistrad just loved those. And really, Innistrad does need pieces for white and for blue. So humans have typically been white as well as angels. And blue, again, I think horrors kind of took over the blue section of the color pie for Innistrad. So I'm going to, at least I'm going to assume that they're going to be playing some kind of role here. I'm thinking about, I can't remember the name of the card, but it does have ability to loot. It is a horror for one and a blue, and I played in my discard deck. So that's all I can really say about that, but it does create 3/2 horror tokens whenever you discard a card, something like that. So I really do think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that, but yes, you're probably right. We're probably going to be seeing some, at least a new mechanic, I suppose, for both. Maybe werewolves are going to have some interesting kind of pack mechanic, something similar to pack rat, maybe, where depending on the number of werewolves you have, you're going to be getting plus X or something. Maybe some kind of piece. Some artifact or something, maybe the moon or something, where all of a sudden you can start flipping your werewolves back and forth between their pre-evolved forms and their transformation form on your own instead of being forced to rely on your opponents again in EDH. That's a serious problem, is it's really hard to satisfy those conditions. Well, I don't think they've really made a card that allows you to do that on your own. There are a few instances and whatnot that allow you to transform your werewolf creatures, but they're only instants or sorceries, nothing really lasting. So I guess if I was really to hazard a guess here, you're probably going to see some sort of artifact that allows you to flip your werewolves for that set. As far as the vampire set, I really think we're going to end up having to see more about how Sorin deals with the effects of what's happened here. Obviously, he did just get out of the wall. Nahiri's off-world right now on Zendikar, so perhaps he takes it upon himself to try to rebuild this world that technically has been destroyed while he was stuck in a wall. Who knows? And I really think that that's obviously going to put him in conflict with the humans. Thalia's probably not going to be extremely happy about more vampire incursions, especially since the humans are probably more emboldened after their victory over the Eldrazi. So I'm going to assume that we will probably see a whole lot of support for black and a whole lot of support for red, which means we're going to be seeing a lot of red support. So I guess if I really want to look at an aggregate bit here, we're probably going to see some pretty broken red spells at some point, whether they're going to be in Gruul colors, Rakdos colors, or just mono red. We're probably going to see some interesting red spells because both. I would assume that both both sets are probably going to have a lot of red in them just because the werewolves are typically red. Vampires are usually red. There's going to be some black mixed in, some green. And then we're obviously going to be having to see where white and blue go on the scale. So I really do think we're going to see some busted red spells in this set. And we don't really need a lot more vampire tribal support, but we're probably going to get some.
Yeah. I have to also make the obligatory Soren couldn't, or he failed to act as a planeswalker because he was completely stoned at the time.
Okay. Settle down. Settle down.
Like, but, literally stoned.
but yeah, the fact that Soren was having some issues right as the set came to be, the fact that he was forced to work with several of the other noble houses, I think that really shows up in the cards from Eldritch Moon and Shadows Over Innistrad, is the fact that he's effectively had to try to pick up the pieces of what he used to have, realizing the Markov Manor was destroyed, and that there isn't a whole hell of a lot left for him to work with. So I've said this several times before, I really think that Crimson Vow is going to be the consolidation of power for the vampires to try to ensure that they stay on top of the food chain, because otherwise the werewolves might be trying to play a larger role here, especially if some of the other pieces have been taken off the board. And again, we haven't really seen demons show up lately, so maybe we'll have some interesting demon, I guess, step into the void somewhere, one that wasn't destroyed. I know that we did have the one, again, I can't remember the one from Westvale Abbey, but I do believe there was another, the demon from Dark Ascension. Oh, that's gonna really bother me. Gristlebrand. Yeah, Gristlebrand has been taken out for a long time, so there's really no archdemon necessarily there, but I'm gonna assume there that since it's Innistrad, there's gonna be cultists, there's going to be a new demon, maybe enough of a threat to force everyone else to action, who knows?
Well, with demons, you generally have angels in most planes, with the exception, of course, of the Tarkir sort of block, where you had, I think the original plan was for them to not have any demons, and they don't have, like, angels, but then later they added demons in there. So, like, usually angels and demons, like, they come together, you know, they come as pairs in a set. So, given that both the angels were completely had the crap kicked out of them, and that the demons probably also had, well, slash devils, because devils are a little different, probably also had the crap kicked out of them, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Same thing with the vampires, they also had the crap kicked out of them. I think maybe the thing in common here is that everybody had the crap kicked out of them by the Eldrazi.
Hence the power vacuum, I think, in place now.
Yeah, what shape that takes, like, whether now there's some kind of weird power-sharing thing where, like, in the absence of that whole weird, like, monsters and humans balance, are, like, the monsters, like, the forces of dark no longer even remotely aligned with each other in destroying all humans? Are they, like, mostly now aligned against each other? Like, that might be interesting, like, an interesting way to explore that. Because they haven't really, it's almost entirely been humans, like, oh, here's these different things that can damage werewolves. Here's these different things that can destroy vampires. Oh, here's a thing that can destroy undead things. You know, like, well, what if there was stuff like that, but except for vampires, where they could, like, destroy werewolves or some other nonsense, you know?
Well, typically there are ways to be able to deal with werewolves, deal with vampires, but they've gone through the human lines. So, yeah. So if we look at things like Trapped by Moonsilver, out of the Innistrad sets from Mono White, obviously being the ways to try to deal with those sorts of threats. And yeah, I guess we're gonna really see where things go. Story wise, we don't have a whole lot to work off. We're just speculating, but again, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah,
and we know that there's going to be tribal synergies. We know that there's going to be some lore ramifications. What exactly that has to do anything, I'm not sure. We may see a little bit of Eldrazi support, but I'm going to say it now. I doubt we're going to see a serious Eldrazi presence just because, again, I think the Wizards is seemingly trying to move away from the Eldrazi at least a little bit for the time being. And it would make a lot more sense to kind of just show how Innistrad is moving on. Similar to how Zendikar was shown in Zendikar Rising is the Eldrazi weren't present really there, but you still have a whole lot of issues about the how to reckon with the damage that had been done to the world, and you're able to turn that into the melodrama based upon the Planeswalkers and whatnot. And again, since we don't have the Gatewatch sitting around anymore, they've pretty much disbanded and gone to disparate parts of the universe. We really have to see maybe where we have, again, the lesser Planeswalkers, or at least the ones that haven't been heavily featured as much, how do they...
Yeah, like Davriel or something like that.
Yeah, how do they play into all this? And I think that's really going to be where we're going to be taking things going into these sets.
Yeah. And that also reminds me, like, what... Now that you don't have Avacyn, you don't have the Archangels other than, you know, whatever her name was.
Other than Sigarda, yeah.
Sigarda. Like, what are the humans exactly... Like, the whole theme of so much of that was all of the people being flocking around Avacyn, you know, the Church of Avacyn, all the protection and holy nonsense the humans are doing. And like, what are exactly they going to be banding around right now? Like, if that... to provide them their counterbalance to the forces of darkness or whatever?
I like I said before, I think Thalia is going to be playing a huge role in this set based upon everything that she had to put together. We might even see a little bit more of... I do not know why I can never remember names on the show, but we're potentially going to be seeing a lot more humans trying to band together.
You know what would be... Oh, you know what would be really interesting is maybe the humans started taking up worship of Sarah instead, given that there are people that worship Sarah on multiple planes, and given that Sarah doesn't really exist, she kind of got annihilated a long, long time ago, but people still worship her, and there at least lore-wise still is indications that that carries some magical power to it. That there's still a Sarah's presence is still felt throughout the multiverse. So maybe
possibly,
like from left field, like, or some other quasi angelic being or something that either is intraplanar or, local. I would, you know what my pet thing is I really hope that they, bring back curses. I know this is kind of a long shot, but I like curses a lot. And we really haven't seen them for a long time. And I would be thrilled if they brought curses back. Now, again, that's a pretty long shot. I don't know if they're really going to be doing that, given that there's like a cult following around curses. But it would be cool if they brought them back. And I think there's a lot of design space for curses as well that has never been fully... realized, you know, at least since Amonkhet, you know, I think there's still a lot of space for that. I mean, what's your take?
Curses are interesting. Again, since we're not quite sure what the balance is of power at the moment, I mean, I suppose if they're going to be going into more darkness, but again, I think the curses falls a lot along the lines of madness too. So, you know, if perhaps this plane is not necessarily stark raving mad, maybe we won't see curses, because that seems to be something that you would see on a mad plane. And if Innistrad is not necessarily mad, will we see that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical, but again, you said it was a long shot, so I'm skeptical that we're going to be seeing curses again in this set. We may see some new mechanics, though, based upon some of these new power arrangements. And, I mean, my lock-in for this is we're probably going to see another demon. Did we ever know that Ormondahl ever kicked it? So
I have no idea, yeah.
I think that we might see another archdemon show up. I think every time we go to Innistrad, we see another one. So maybe... But also, if there's going to be a new demon, there's going to have to be new angels created as well. You're right. So there may have to be some reckoning there. But again, we don't know exactly where those angels came from. So, yeah, it originally, outside of Avacyn, obviously. So
yeah.
Who knows at this point? But again, yeah, you're right. Sarah did technically create the angels in the lore, at least is very well renowned for a lot of that. So you're possibly right. It might end up moving some of that religion in that direction. Who knows?
Yeah, and I think the Sarah worship, or at least the Sarah reverence, is like the only intraplanar religious or like reverence for a deceased planeswalker that I'm aware of in magic lore. I'm not aware of any other like interplanar religions. Given that worship extended both to Sarah's realm as a plane, to Dominaria, and then to other planes that are mentioned as well. So obviously, given the fact that Sarah was a planeswalker and not some kind of like Theros, like, you know, god, quote unquote, entity, you know, she was a planeswalker back when planeswalkers were gods, basically, with near unlimited power and the ability to effectively be immortal beings. And then, of course, then the whole nonsense with, you know, the shattering of Dominaria and everything happened, and then, you know, all that crap got retconned out. Not really retconned, more like explained away to where, like, they're, you know, that doesn't... Planeswalkers don't have that kind of power anymore. They can't just, like, make entire new planes of existence out of their mind, or, like, live forever and be functionally invincible, or, like, other weird stuff like that anymore. And definitely can't found their own interplanar religions quite like that, about people worshiping them. So, you know, what that will take, like, who's the next big bad? Is it going to be a demon? Because like you said, you know, with demons typically comes angels. You know, there's exceptions to that. Obviously, with Tarkir, there weren't really any angels that I'm aware of, but there were demons that were added in later. Same thing with Amonkhet. There are angels in Amonkhet, but they were a very, very light presence. And I think there was more demonic stuff there than there were angelic stuff there.
Like, mostly for story reasons, though, based around the Gatewatch.
Yeah. Yeah. There were angels of Amonkhet, male angels, funnily enough, like the only plane where they have male angels. But they were not featured a whole lot in the mechanics of the sets outside of like the flavor and story.
But since Innistrad does have such a strong angel theme, I have a hard time believing that we're not going to see at least some presence from them, even if it's just minor presence outside of the other two main tribes.
The main angel sisters and angel clades that pre-existed Avacyn, because Avacyn is an artificial construct.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's never been explicitly said what the fundamental origins of the original angels were. Like, maybe Sarah traveled there and was like, hey, let's make some angels over here, like she did in a bunch of other different places. Or like where that all came from. You know, that's never really been explained.
I guess actually something I just thought about here is, with Commander Legends, we did get Lyessa Shroud of Dusk, who was the fourth Archangel of Innistrad, who had been destroyed millennia before. I wonder if now that we have a card for that character, are we potentially going to see a little bit of that craziness show up, given the fact that her slice of the color pie was black and white? And obviously Avacyn destroyed her for a reason, to, in theory, protect the humans and whatnot and everything under her purview. But now that Avacyn is gone, I guess I just wonder if maybe some of that corruption will show up there. That I don't know. It was probably just a homage to the story. It really means nothing. But I guess it's just kind of fun to speculate what would happen if you had to reckon with that other character who was just mentioned name passing, now gets a card. All of a sudden, bam, next year, now is involved in the story in some way, even if it's just... kind of by name. Again, same thing with Ormondal here, is I don't think that there was necessarily any closure on that one. So maybe there'll be a new demon overlord that now the vampires have to try to deal with. I don't know.
I mean, they've still never explained why, if Sarah is super duper dead as a planeswalker, why her magic and stuff still kind of seems to work. That's never been fully adequately explained. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that seems to still exist. Like, it's never been fully adequately explained how like some of Yawgmoth's stuff still seems to exist with the modern Phyrexians long after he, as a controlling force, is super duper dead, at least supposedly super duper dead. Like why, for one, why the Phyrexian oil even worked at all, or had its mind without Yawgmoth's malevolent will directing it. You know, when Karn accidentally carried the Phyrexian oil to Mirrodin, and started this whole nonsense. Like, that's never been explained. It's never explained why certain things that are quote unquote destroyed still seem to persist around for some, you know, purpose. So like, who knows when it comes to Liesa or other stuff, whether that'll bump up or not. It was interesting that at the time they chose to give her a card, though. I mean, maybe it was just a random thing or a coincidence, but, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know, it's an interesting idea.
All right, so I think we've speculated on this stuff enough. Still, we have absolutely no idea really what's going to be coming from these sets, so that's why it's fun to speculate and just talk about what we hope to see in the sets, as long as what we think we'll see and, you know, maybe not see in these new sets.
It's a good exercise, like a mind exercise or like a thought experiment to think about, like, you know, I wonder how much of these predictions will come true or these thoughts, you know, will actually be foretold if when they start previewing this stuff. Like, maybe I'll see some of these things start showing up and I'll be like, oh, hey, this has confirmed some of that. But I don't know. Maybe not, you know.
All right. So again, since we're still at least a month out from the beginning of preview season for Innistrad Midnight Hunt, who knows, maybe if you're returning to this after June or July 2021, maybe you'll think, hey, those guys had absolutely no idea what they're talking about, and that's fine. Again, we're just speculating at this point in time when we're recording. It's entirely possible we're going to be dead wrong. It's also entirely possible we're going to be absolutely correct. That's the fun of speculation, really.
Yeah, and I think that's also why I've been couching a lot of what I've been saying in like a, I'm not 100% sure either. Because, you know, when I speculate and stuff, I try not to come up with super-duper elaborate theories in the absence of any evidence whatsoever. But I guess I'm just mostly looking to, you know, the idea that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior, you know, when it comes to magic sets. Like, if there's a continuation set, the best predictor of what will happen in the continuation set is what happened in previous sets. You know what I mean?
All right. So I'm going to give you a quick lightning round here, and then I'm going to do it as well. So I'm going to ask you for your absolute can't-miss pick. What kind of commander for EDH are we going to get?
Oh, we are 100% going to get a werewolf commander that that really is actually tribally focused, or is not necessarily a lord, but plays really well in with werewolf mechanics. I think that commander will have some form of modal, either modal double face or standard double face transform ability. And I'm also very, very certain that this commander will kind of be designed probably to be important in standard, as well as kind of serve as candy for the EDH community. I also very strongly think there's going to be a similarly themed vampire commander, probably a multicolor vampire commander, that will also serve similar tribal stuff, but they'll try to distinguish this tribal commander from the other tribal vampire commander like archetypes. I don't think it'll be a three color vampire. It'll probably, if it is a vampire, it'll probably be mono black or be in Rakdos colors. And I think it'll try to do something new for vampires, something also new, but also something thematic.
All right. And I'm going to ask you, what is kind of your long shot pick? I know you said curses earlier, but do you have another one?
Long shot pick is that they put Davriel comes back to Innistrad, and like his weird demon thing that talks to him or whatever, and gives, because he's not really technically a planeswalker. He is a planeswalker, but his planeswalking is gifted by some weird demonic force. Like, whether maybe that plays some kind of role in it. I think it's a long shot, but I think that's a potential, because that's also a big ol' unfinished business there with him and his demon buddies. I also, for a long shot in terms of commanders, though, I think that they're a homunculus commander, not Fibblethip, but a homunculus lord that everyone has wanted for so long, even if they don't know that they want a homunculus lord.
All right. I'm going to do the same thing. So for my can't miss pick, I am definitely going to say, I'm going to go along the lines with you that we're definitely going to see a werewolf commander of some kind, but I am going to lock it in right now that we're probably going to see some way to control werewolf transformation, some way to be able to hone that in easily. Again, I did mention an artifact earlier that I would hope to start seeing, something like maybe for 3 or 4 mana that will, for maybe 2 and a tap or something, be able to transform all your werewolves just because you can. So I really think we're probably going to see some kind of interesting artifact to be able to improve werewolves and be able to deal with one of their biggest downsides, which is the number of spells necessary to cast or not cast to be able to transform your werewolves. And the can't miss pick, honestly, I'm going to say obviously we're going to see a new Soren Markov card in some fashion as a planeswalker. I'm going to go with a Soren Markov who can be used as your commander, actually. I have a feeling that we have been seeing more of these characters showing up, more planeswalkers being able to be used as your commander. Most recently, the Kenrith twins, who were involved in the Throne of Eldraine story a couple years ago. And I guess I'm just interested maybe in seeing if Soren does take the next step forward in this set. Could we potentially see him becoming a planeswalker commander? And at that point, I guess, are we going to see him in 3 colors? Are we going to see him in Mardu colors versus just in Orzhov colors? Because otherwise, since we have seen Soren and Orzhov colors, it does, I guess my other kind of stretch pick here is, I know that most vampires are in Rakdos on Innistrad, but since we have seen Orzhov vampires on Ixalan, it just makes me wonder, besides Soren, besides Olivia, are we going to see a new Orzhov vampire show up in this set to try to balance things out? So I think that's my pick right there, but Soren Markov, 3-color planeswalker, can be used as your commander.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if the Orzhov vampires actually came to Innistrad. I mean, like, what? But here's the question: like, what would an Orzhov vampire look like on Innistrad? Like, would it be much more similar to the Ixalan style of vampire, or more similar to an Orzhov style of vampire in terms of black white? You know, or something entirely new in terms of black white color pairing for vampires? You know, I mean, could like an Orzhov colored vampire, could they be like represent like an allied with humans faction of vampires or something, like, or some other weird splinter thing? I mean, who knows?
Or we did have Mavrin Fine, who was a mono white vampire out of Ixalan. Could we potentially see something like that?
Yeah, maybe like a vampire that is decided to go full Twilight and decide to not like feast on humans anymore and decide to drink only like animal blood or some BS.
Yeah,
we did
see some precedents for that on Dominaria with Arvod the Cursed. He was a Orzhov vampire who swore off human blood because he was disgusted by the curse that had been placed upon him. Yeah. And he did not want to harm any living things if possible. So it's definitely been set down in precedence that there are possibilities for vampires in Orzhov colors. We have seen a couple Orzhov vampires. Again, Alenda the Duskrose out of Ixalan comes to mind mostly. But yeah, I really do think that since we have Edgar Markov being 3 colors, I really think Soren could potentially add a 3rd color, especially if we see what has been alluded to in the Wizards post from earlier this year, that the houses may have to consolidate some of their power. And it just makes sense at that point that if Edgar Markov was a 3-color, why couldn't his descendant also add red to his color identity?
I mean, here's a good open question. Could you have a white werewolf or a werewolf with white in its color identity?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen that before, but honestly, given the fact that I think since we've speculated on how the humans seem to and the angels take up this white section of the color pie, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if we started seeing white getting some balance out of the vampires and maybe out of werewolves. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, because I guess that's what I'm wondering here is that normally it's like humans are the white weenie faction, sometimes splashed with blue, sometimes splashed with green, and
actually,
sometimes maybe...
What I actually was thinking of earlier, and again, you can tell me this is full of crap if you think so, I also think potentially as part of Midnight Hunt, we might start seeing Jund werewolves, maybe?
Whoa.
Start adding a little bit of black in there, especially if it's going to be around them specifically. It just seems to make sense to me that maybe add a third color, and I think black would make the most sense. So, Jund?
I mean, that's the interesting thing about werewolves is that, you know, prior to Innistrad, they were kind of like a very, very limited thing in Magic. And then when they were a thing in Magic, I think they were almost more orientated towards black, the black part of the color spectrum, than the green part of the color spectrum, compared to where they were in Innistrad. And then there's like the whole ambiguity as to whether like shapeshifters who could transform into animals, is that kind of like lycanthropy, or is that like not the same thing? Are they predominantly green? Like werewolf is like a curse that's involuntary. Like, is that different from voluntary transformation? You know, like there's a lot of a weirdness there. And then, and wondering where, I mean, you'd think that werewolves would have elements of the black color pie to them, but the way that they were, have been played in Innistrad is sort of straight gruel. Could you see other stuff in there? Like, dare I say, could you see blue splashed into werewolves? Like, I don't know how you get any blue in a werewolf, but, like, well, stranger things have happened.
True. I think at that point we have to start looking at the Tarkir factions here when we start thinking about the color identity. And I still think, based on what we've seen of werewolves, they probably fit better under Jund, just with the chaotic bit of adding black. If you go blue, you start going into Temur, which also worries about power, but doesn't necessarily worry about that. I mean, at that point, we're almost potentially going to say, would the vampires start adding green, go Obzon? I mean, I don't know.
They need to fit at least either tribes or particular factions to specific colors. They can't just like leave out a color and be like, okay, like for an entire set and be like, okay, guys, sorry, like, this one color here doesn't really have any tribes associated with it. They're just like the miscellaneous color for this set. Like, I don't think that they would do that. So they have to find some stuff to like bend around like the color pie here and associate with the colors with something. And you know, if they don't emphasize humans, then some of the other things are going to have to take on some aspects of, say, the blue and the white parts of the color pie. And humans and Scabbarin and stuff kind of were associated with blue, and then you also had white associated with the humans that were not like weird scientist people or wizards. Could you see some of that stuff in other tribes? I'm not sure. I guess it just like depends on what they decide to do, whether they tread much more closely to precedent when it comes to color pie stuff, or whether they decide to do something totally new with their assignment here. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, if there's anything that's absolutely for sure, we're going to probably see clue tokens again in the return.
Yeah. I forgot about clues.
And blue is going to be doing a lot of that.
I wonder what they're going to be investigating exactly.
Well, they don't necessarily need to investigate, but we have started to see more clue. Like there was just a clue commander that came out in Modern Horizons 2. Hmm. So are we potentially going to be seeing just clues make a return? You don't necessarily need to investigate, but all of a sudden maybe just create clue tokens as is without the investigate mechanic? Have a new mechanic that'll create clue tokens or something functionally similar to clue tokens, kind of like food?
Well, they've never returned to energy, but they have returned to both gold tokens, and treasure tokens are now a massive theme. Food tokens, not so much, but you have tokens now as really an element in modern Magic that they're getting a lot of love as mechanical components and sets. And obviously, clue tokens were a thing. Will we see them return? Could we potentially even see treasure tokens in Innistrad? I don't know. Like, that hasn't been a thing before, as far as I'm aware of.
No, it hasn't.
Treasure tokens have been a part of a bunch of different sets now. Like, a lot of them.
But not necessarily...
Yeah?
But not necessarily Innistrad, so we'll see on that one.
Yeah, I guess it is. That's an open question. I don't know if they'll have, you know, I'm not sure whether they'll be pulling back other they'll probably be pulling back keywords, but I don't know whether they'll be pulling back mechanics strictly enough or whether they'll be re-spinning them or adding new mechanics that kind of deal with similar resources like clues. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know whether they would necessarily bring back investigate or they would just have a new mechanic that deals with clue tokens specifically. You know what I mean?
All right. So I think we've really reached the end of our speculation here. Thanks, Ryan, for taking the time to be on with me today. It's been great having you.
Yeah. No, it's a really a fruitful topic of discussion.
Definitely. And we are going to learn a whole lot more in a couple of weeks when Adventures in the Forgotten Realms is released and we go into the immediate turbo spoiler season for the Innistrad set Midnight Hunt. Yep. So again, you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. You can find the back catalog of this of all the Control Room episodes, as well as the entire back catalog of this podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, Player FM, MTG Casts, and many other podcast outlets. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine, typically talking about Magic, EDH, maybe I'm looking into a little bit of CEDH at this point, so definitely give me a follow or shoot me a DM on there if you want to talk to me on Twitter. All right, again, you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. For Ryan, my name's MJ. You've been listening. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.